Quick note, there is a cuss word on today's show.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Are you talking to him right now?
We're going to connect shortly, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm sitting in a studio that is connected to another studio, KUT in Austin, Texas, and we're waiting on this ticket broker to show up and tell us the story of the 2015 Super Bowl. So we've got the tape rolling. Any second, his voice should pop up, but then our producer, Jess Chung, bursts back into the studio.
I'm trying to get him on the phone. He was standing out of KUT. He was like, I don't see any benefit from this. He's like getting cold feet.
What did he say?
Here.
Jess pulls out her phone. She pulls up an email from the broker.
I'm sitting outside the station, but I don't see any benefit that could come from this. Thank you for your time and energy, but I have to decline for my own sanity.
Huh. Decline for my own sanity. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Kenny Malone.
And I'm Noelle King. And the Super Bowl is this weekend. It's the Eagles versus the Pats.
The Super Bowl is, of course, a huge economy in and of itself. And nowhere is this more visible than in one crazed market. Ticket sales.
Usually the Super Bowl is a bonanza for professional ticket salespeople. Usually. But the 2015 Super Bowl was very different.
And this is the reason no one wants to talk about it. Because in the 2 weeks leading up to the game, there was a catastrophic market collapse in miniature. Brokers went belly up, tickets vanished into thin air, companies had to shell out millions of dollars to try and fix the great Super Bowl ticket collapse.
Today on the show, we're going to try and figure out what happened, and
we did find somebody willing to tell us about this from the inside.
And it's so weird to talk about, like, on air, because it's like one of those things that's like, do we even want to talk about Super Bowl 49 ever again?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from FreshBooks. If you're an entrepreneur who's not on top of your business financials, FreshBooks can help. FreshBooks is the ridiculously easy cloud accounting software made specifically for small business owners who need to find a better way to deal with their paperwork. FreshBooks can even show you whether or not a client has looked at the invoice you've mailed. For a 30-day unrestricted free trial, go to freshbooks.com/planetmoney and enter Planet Money in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
I'm going to have you start by just saying your name.
Okay, it's Ray Sato, S-A-T-O.
How should we identify you? Devoted Seattle Seahawks fan?
Yep, that works for me.
Ray Sato has been a Seahawks season ticket holder since 1976. That is the first year there were Seahawks.
Now, in the last 15 years, the Seahawks have been very good, but in the beginning, they were very bad. Ray watched and cheered and dealt with decades of ups and downs.
So it's the 2014-2015 season, and it's shaping up to be, like, mediocre at best. Six games in, and the Seahawks had a middling record. But, you know, Ray is a loyal fan, and like many loyal fans, he just had a feeling that maybe the Seahawks could turn it around.
And even though the Super Bowl was months away, Ray found a ticket broker who offered a pretty straightforward deal. If Ray paid, like, a deposit, this guy would go and get him a ticket for the Super Bowl if the Seahawks made it.
If they don't make it, Ray loses the deposit, but he decides it's worth the risk.
So Ray puts the money down, a couple hundred bucks, and his team turns the season around. They make the playoffs.
And so now it is 14 days before the 2015 Super Bowl. The Seattle Seahawks are playing the Green Bay Packers.
Ray was at this game watching the Seahawks. And this game, it's part of a day that's known as Championship Sunday, because it's the day we find out which teams will be in the Super Bowl. And the Seahawks that day, they forced the Packers into overtime, and they won this improbable game and are now going to the Super Bowl.
I think everyone was just screaming, hugging each other, high-fiving, it was really just unbelievable.
And it's extra sweet for you because you happen to know that you were going to get to go and follow this improbable run.
Absolutely.
The best part of this deal Ray had made with the broker was not just that he was getting two tickets to the Super Bowl. The broker was going to sell them to him for face value, $800 a ticket.
Which sounds like a lot to me, but
it is a steal for a Super Bowl ticket. Ray paid the broker for two tickets, and the broker is like, congratulations, you are going to Super Bowl 49 in Glendale, Arizona. We will have your tickets in hand, in person, the day before the game.
So everybody wins. But here's a twist. You know the ticket broker who wouldn't talk to us in the interest of his own sanity? That guy was Ray's ticket broker. And he wasn't a scam artist. He wasn't trying to defraud Ray. But what he and Ray didn't know yet was that they had just jumped into one of the most upside-down, bass-ackwards ticket markets in Super Bowl history.
Would you say you are a leading expert in ticket markets?
Without something pompous, yes, I think. I've done a lot of work in tickets.
This is Pascal Corti,
professor of economics at the University of Victoria, and I've been studying ticket markets for the past 20 years.
Super Bowl tickets are already a weird market to begin with, because if you're not an NFL player or an NFL sponsor or a very, very lucky season ticket holder for a Super Bowl team, you almost have no chance of getting a Super Bowl ticket, not directly at least, not for face value on the primary market.
So the market is the secondary market, the resale market. And Pascal says if you study that resale market like he does, ticket prices have followed a very predictable pattern.
Yes. So if you look at the past few years, that would be the general pattern for the Super Bowl, definitely, but also for many other sports. We call these markets perishable good. And the idea is that once the event starts, the value of your ticket goes down dramatically, right? And
Pascal says that for the Super Bowl, what the pattern looks like is this. 14 days before the big game, the day we find out which two teams will be playing, ticket prices start to go up.
The most exuberant fans are buying tickets. They're driving the price up.
And then when we get closer to the game, the prices start to drop because of this. Imagine you're a fan. You didn't buy your ticket yet, and the euphoria is wearing off, and you're looking at, oh, hotels are $1,000 a night, and the flights are $1,200, and you think, I don't really need to go to the Super Bowl.
And at the same time, ticket sellers are thinking, uh-oh, once this game starts, this ticket I have is nothing more than a souvenir. I had better budge on my price.
And then in the last few days, then you would have a sudden drop.
Now, I feel like if we see it often, there should be a name for this. Is there like a, does it have a cool economics name?
Oh, maybe we should name it.
Do you want to name it? Do you have any suggestions?
The last minute dip or something like that.
The last minute dip is fine with me. It also sounds like what you bring to a Super Bowl party when someone's like, oh, by the way, can you bring something? And I'm like, oh, no, I don't have anything. I guess I can bring a dip at the last minute. But yeah, sure, we can go with that.
Just about every part of the Super Bowl ticket economy is built on this pattern holding true. 14 days out, prices are going to go up, and then there will be this last minute dip.
All of the professionals in the ticket industry are betting on this. So while the Seahawks were in Seattle winning their way into the Super Bowl, 3,000 miles away in New York City, Brett Goldberg is obsessively watching ticket prices.
So the second the Seahawks won, orders started flying in like crazy.
Brett is the co-CEO of a company called TickPick. That's TickPick.
Did you want to share your unofficial tagline, or is that an off-mic-only thing?
Oh, that one. Yeah. Oh, okay. I was about to say, most people know what StubHub is. Mm-hmm. So when someone goes, what do you do? Instead of giving them the long-winded answer, it's, we're like StubHub, but better.
Brett, of course, has a whole explanation for why he thinks his site is better. But Brett is one of the few people we found who's willing to talk about 2015 from the inside.
And if you're trying to figure out where Brett sits in this ticket ecosystem, he and his website are a middleman between the fans and the ticket brokers.
Brett tells us one of the reasons the Super Bowl is particularly weird is that 14 days before the game, when that demand for tickets starts to spike, the majority of the tickets are not out into the world yet. The NFL is still holding on to tickets, waiting to release them to teams and players and maybe sponsors. And it takes a while for those to get out onto the secondary market.
So on that championship Sunday, what the vast majority of people are actually buying from Brett Goldberg's website and other websites like Brett's is the promise of a ticket from a broker.
Now, there are two kinds of ticket brokers. First, they're the ones who know what they're doing. They sell you a ticket and they know exactly where it's going to come from. They know a guy whose company somehow gets tickets and there's going to be an extra one. And that's the ticket the broker is selling you.
And then there is the other type. And sometimes you'll hear these guys called speculators. They sell you a ticket or the promise of a ticket. And then they go hustle. They go find one for you. But when they sold it to you, they didn't know exactly where it was coming from. And it may not have been clear to you, but you haven't actually bought a real ticket.
Now, this seems crazy, like it's an invisible ticket, but it is something that happens in financial markets. Both cases are versions of what's called a naked short sale.
Yeah, when you're convinced prices will go down, you offer something for sale that you don't own yet, but you promise that you will get it and you'll deliver it later. Now, that was what was going on in this big secondary market and also on Brett's website.
Were you okay with people using your website to speculate?
In hindsight, definitely not.
Right.
But we had no reason to believe that there were problems. You ask someone once, you get it in writing, you're going to fill. You're obligated to do this. The industry, the resale industry as a whole, is built on trust. These are brokers' livelihood, and they're going to fill these orders.
And the reason this worked fine for the Super Bowl for years is because ticket prices always took that last-minute dip.
And the thought in brokers' minds were, I could sell this at $2,000, and a couple of days before the Super Bowl, I could buy it for $1,500, maybe $1,000. This is the easiest $500 of my life.
The easiest $500 of your life.
So the countdown is at 14 days. 14 days until the Super Bowl.
And there is a real sense that we are truly going to see the two best teams play here.
Prices are still going up.
13 days until the Super Bowl.
3,000.
12 days left.
3,500. This is kind of in line with the trend we've seen.
You know, I'm tracking this like a hardcore fan, right? Every day, every hour, I'm refreshing our app.
1 week until the Super Bowl.
Prices are still going up.
I had never in our history kind of seen it push $4,000.
$4,000. $5,000. $6,000.
6 days before
Five
the Super Bowl.
5 days until the Super Bowl.
On StubHub, they start at more than $7,000.
And now it's clear something is going on here.
Ticket prices we've been reporting for the Super Bowl already at a record high at ABC.
Our Seahawks fan, Ray Sato, is watching all of this. Remember, he bought his tickets for $800.
I'm thinking, man, I got a good deal with this option.
It's true. Ray doesn't have his actual physical paper ticket yet, but he's thinking, look, I already paid for it. It must be my ticket, and I was just smart enough to lock in a really great price.
Were you thinking like, maybe I should sell this ticket?
Well, it has to cross your mind, but I was pretty devoted to going.
This is my first Super Bowl. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Brett Goldberg, on the other hand, our ticket middleman, he's been watching these prices go up, and for days, he has been worried.
And you know, for me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
Just to be clear, I mean, you're making a cut of sales. It seems like a great thing that prices are going up. But you're saying there's something to be alarmed about.
Yeah.
Because of the ticket speculators, because of the naked short selling.
You know, I was not aware how exposed we were, but I was aware there was exposure. And this is when I started to prepare. Like, I need to be prepared that some of these shorts may not get filled.
So what he's saying is Brett knew that some of the people who sold tickets early on for like $2,000 on his website, they did not have a clue where those tickets were going to come from. They assumed, just like every year, that they'd buy them during the last minute dip. But now there was no dipping. There was just spiking.
Now, we talked to as many people as we could about why 2015 was different, why ticket prices went up instead of down. And here's what we can piece together. Super Bowl 49 was this tornado of compounding factors that sent prices through the roof.
For starters, it seems like brokers completely underestimated how many people wanted to go to this game. Now, here's why. The Patriots are always in the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks had just won their first ever Super Bowl the year before. So logically, the brokers are thinking, people are going to be less interested this time. And it appears they got that very wrong.
Secondly, the reports from the ground are that the NFL released some of the tickets later than brokers expected, later than usual. This made them nervous. This made them willing to pay more for the tickets that were available and may have driven the price up further.
And the final factor is that it looks like 2015 was the year that so many people piled into the ticket speculation game that the bubble just burst. They sold way more ticket promises than they could possibly deliver.
The market was built on naked short selling, and a market like that is a bomb waiting to go off.
Just days now from the biggest of big games, the fans all descending here on the greater Phoenix area.
The Super Bowl is now 3 days away, and ticket prices are through the roof.
Thousands of people are starting to show up in Glendale, Arizona, thinking they bought Super Bowl tickets ahead of time.
Let's go, Pat! Seahawks! Seahawks!
And 2,500 miles away, at Brett Goldberg's office in New York City, the first domino falls.
Yes, Thursday was the first time I realized that one of our sellers wasn't going to fill.
A call comes into the Tick Pick office. It is a broker saying essentially, I give up. I know I sold someone a ticket on your website for like $2,500, but it's crazy out here. $7,000-$8,000. I can't find anything anywhere cheap enough to make this work.
We're fucking worried. We're nervous. I mean, so Thursday when that call came in, I started running the books and I said, okay, worst case.
Brett Goldberg's website had helped sell about 200 Super Bowl tickets, and now he starts looking at every single ticket purchase.
Like, who sold this ticket? Do I know this person? Do I trust this person?
So that was my concern, is for people who have bought tickets at $2,000. Brokers thought they were going to get them for $1,500, and how the heck are these brokers going to fill these orders? We need to fill these orders.
Now remember, Brett himself is not a broker. His job is not to go and buy tickets and then sell them. But imagine if you're that fan. You bought a ticket through Brett's site. You are going to blame Brett just as much as you're going to blame the broker who bailed on your order.
So Brett is getting desperate now. He is sending guys to Arizona with cash.
I wired, you know, $50,000 in cash to one of my guys that was going there so that we could start buying tickets as well.
Basically filling that person's backpack
yes.
with cash.
We turned into that broker more or less, right? We need to buy tickets.
And to make matters worse, StubHub, which is Brett's big competitor, is being forced to do the same thing, but on a market-moving scale. StubHub spends millions of dollars making up for busted short sales on their website. They get enough tickets to get every single one of their customers into the Super Bowl.
Brett says, for the tickets that are left, that only drives the price up more. And he simply could not afford to do the same thing for his customers. His company was too new. He did not have that kind of money. So he bought up as many tickets as he could afford. He says in total, about 30 orders went bust. He was able to fill about half of those. And for the rest of the fans, he was just going to have to reimburse them for any travel they'd paid for and then give them about a 200% refund on their tickets.
Which is still cheaper than buying the tickets, but he had to start making some very difficult phone calls.
I mean, this was like the worst day of my career working ever. Like, you know, having to call someone to tell them to not get on a plane right now, when you, like, the reason why we created this business was to send people to get tickets for events like this, right? This is the exact opposite. And it's so weird to talk about, like, on air, because it's like one of those things. It's like, do we even want to talk about Super Bowl 49 ever again?
It's fair.
So, you know, you talk about, like, emotions and how we felt. Like, it brings up a lot of, like, to the point where, like, I'm not going to cry, but I could cry thinking about, like, what we had to do to some people.
Calls like this were going out all over the country. And 2 days before the Super Bowl, Seahawks superfan Ray Sato had his hotel booked in Arizona. He and his wife were packed and ready to leave the next morning after breakfast. He opens his laptop, and there's an email from his broker.
And it's subject line what?
Well, it's probably Super Bowl tickets.
You see it, and what do you, like, before you even open it, what do you think?
I'm going, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Said, sorry, guys, I don't have tickets. I don't know if I'm going to have much of a business, but I will, you know, give you your money back plus 20%. And sorry.
You didn't throw the laptop across the room or anything?
No.
It was a quiet anger.
A quiet anger, yeah. Kind of a disappointment and anger.
The broker gave Ray his money back, plus a couple extra $100 to say, I am so sorry. Ray and his wife talked it over. They were very bummed, but they decided they were going to drive to Arizona anyway, just to be part of the festivities.
Ray says the scene in Arizona was bizarre. There were obviously exuberant fans, but then there were these, like, clusters of miserable, desperate fans, almost like panhandlers holding up these homemade signs.
Cardboard signs, people sitting in the middle of the crowd, just watching people walk by into the pep rally. With their kids with them, trying to stir some sympathy.
And it was just like willing to pay $10,000. Yep. And even at $10,000, they couldn't get a ticket?
I guess not.
Good Lord.
It was just insanity.
So Ray and his wife get in the car. They leave Arizona and they drive to California to Ray's parents' house to watch the actual game.
And I don't know if you remember Super Bowl 49, but the Seahawks had the ball with a chance to win the game from like a yard away from the end zone. And for the entire country, it seemed as if they were about to win the Super Bowl.
Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted by Malcolm Butler.
The Seahawks chose to throw the ball instead of run it, and they lost. They threw an interception.
After the interception, my mouth dropped open in disbelief. And the next thing, I turn to my wife and go, my God, I can't imagine being at this game. Can you think of what the drive home would have been like?
I mean, in some ways, maybe you have these ticket short sellers to thank for avoiding a lot of misery.
Yeah, but that's the only reason I think now I can laugh about it and just let it go is the fact that it was such a difficult ending for the Seattle fans.
All right, the Super Bowl is days away, and after all this, you may be wondering, could this happen again this year?
We will tell you. Stick with us.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Robinhood, an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks and options commission-free, offering listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at money.robinhood.com.
When the 2015 ticket bubble burst, there were a lot of pissed off people. They had paid for hotels, they'd booked airline tickets, some of them had already shown up to Arizona, and a lot of those pissed off people got in touch with a man named Bob Ferguson.
I'm wearing my Seahawks jersey for this interview because you're making me go back in time to this painful experience.
You're wearing a Seahawks jersey right now?
Are you kidding? Heck yeah.
Bob is the attorney general for the state of Washington. He was wearing that Seahawks jersey in his office.
He's a huge fan and was actually at the 2015 Super Bowl. His tickets worked out fine, but outside of the stadium, he kept running into devastated fan after devastated fan. Bob eventually went after a particularly egregious ticket broker who wasn't even reimbursing people when their tickets fell through.
And so, because there were lawsuits and a lot of bad press and a really expensive meltdown, the Super Bowl ticket market does seem to be safer today.
Companies like StubHub and TickPick, those ticket middlemen, have cracked down on ticket speculation.
Yeah, they now require anybody who wants to sell a Super Bowl ticket to either have a proof of purchase or to be a certified trusted broker with a history of delivering on Super Bowl ticket promises.
Bob Ferguson, the attorney general for Washington, says you should still be pretty careful when making a giant purchase like this. And if it falls through, you may have recourse. You may be able to file a lawsuit. And speaking of which, before I let Bob go, I had to ask him about something that stuck out to me. Hey, I noticed in the lawsuit, the complaint, there was a little flowery language around the Seahawks' quote-unquote thrilling victory over the Green Bay Packers to advance to the Super Bowl.
Is that right? I'd forgotten that.
Did you put that in there?
That sounds like something I would do, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Quick note, we did reach out to the NFL for this episode, and they did not respond.
Today's episode was produced by Jess Chung. Our supervising producer is Alex Goldmark.
Brian Erstad is Planet Money's editor.
Thanks this week to Michael Urban, a Patriots fan who also wound up without a ticket. Yes, this did happen to Patriots fans, too. And as far as we can tell, it's maybe the only bad thing that's ever happened to Patriots fans. And a special thanks this week to Seahawks fan Eric Jacks, who pointed us towards this story in the first place. I'm Kenny Malone.
And I'm Noel King. Thanks for listening.